Well, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull took his big themes of innovation and technology to Paris when he addressed the Paris Climate Change Summit on Tuesday. And both things will be needed in order to stem fossil fuel use in the developing world in particular. Nations in Africa, Asia and Latin America, they face the double challenge of trying to cap their emissions while liberating millions of people from what's called energy poverty, which is a lack of access to an energy source. Can't switch on the light when you want to. And things that are a lot more debilitating than even that. And an Australian living abroad has found a business model geared towards meeting this challenge. Hugh Whalen's company sells affordable solar home systems to thousands of off-the-grid households in Ghana. Hugh is about to fly to Paris, where he's addressing one of the Action Day events at the around the UN summit. But at first, he's talking to us via Skype from New York. Hugh, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hi, Fran. Thanks for having me.
Hugh, tell us a bit about your company, what it's doing with these solar systems, what the solar systems that you're selling into these homes in Ghana, what they do.
Yeah, so when people think of solar systems in Australia, they're probably thinking of the 16-panel large array on mum and dad's home. Ours are very different to that. Ours are very small. Think of your laptop screen for the solar panel. They provide simple lighting, radio and phone charging to people who earn $1 to $6 a day. And the reason that these solar home systems are so important is that the customers we have spend up to 30% of their energy on poor 30% of their income on poor quality polluting fuels like kerosene, candles and batteries. So our solar home systems not only allow them to save money, but we give them 50 times the amount of light than they used to have. We give them accessibility to energy that they can charge their phones with, and we give them access to information through the radios.
And this is really life-changing. I mean, this is the essence of your speech that you're going to be delivering there in Paris. So you give the example of Linda, a seamstress who lives with her husband, who's a cattle herder, and five kids in Ghana. And you talk about how between them they earn $4 to $5 a day. She has to walk 5Ks to charge her phone, so she can only do that a couple of times a week. And perhaps even most important of all, to get the light, any light, and the light that they need to be able to just live, really, for the kids to be able to study, do their homework, for instance. A lot of their energy is kerosene and candle-based, and that's so bad for your health, isn't it?
It's incredibly bad. More people die every year from indoor air pollution that causes upper respiratory infections than malaria. So this is kind of one of the unsung contributors to not only a lot of deaths in the world, but also actually climate change. What we are aiming to do with our business model is bring people out of poverty through providing them with accessible, affordable energy. But we also believe if we do it right, that we can help an entire generation or generations of poor off-grid households entirely leapfrog their reliance on fossil fuels.
Hugh, I mean, that's important. This is like they're missing out a whole generation of fossil fuel and going straight to renewables, which is, I guess, going to be important if the world's talking about zero emissions. But the business model, this is not a charity. This is a business model. How do you create a business model that works financially for you when your customer base earns between $1 and $6 a day?
Yeah,
what are the financials of that?
It's a very common question we get. So when you hear that somebody's earning $1 to $6 a day, your mind automatically drifts to charity. But the important thing to realize is even though they don't earn a lot of money, they do spend money in a discretionary way, and they are and should be considered customers. If you go into a rural village in Ghana, for example, and everyone is, there's probably 500 people in the village, mud huts, thatch roofs, there's Coca-Cola in that village. Mm. People spend money on discretionary items just like you and I do. And
mobile
in the
phones.
Same way they do that. Yeah, that's right, and mobile phones. In fact, in these villages, people have three or two phones each. So people have money to spend, and there's just not this mindset around providing services and goods to them as if they were customers. And it's a slightly different approach. You need to optimize your costs because there are big distances involved in reaching these people. Mm. Roads aren't paved. There's no electricity. There's no running water. But it is possible, and you can make money from serving these customers in a way that increases their quality of living.
How do you do that? How do you serve them, but how do you make that financial transaction, given some of them are very, very remote locations? There's not banking facilities, I wouldn't imagine. How do they pay you?
Yeah, so this wasn't possible until recently, but our solar home systems have remote monitoring devices inside them that allow us to communicate in real time. So we get over 100 data points from each one of our solar home systems every day. And that allows us to diagnose problems remotely. So if somebody calls us up with the equivalent problem of how do I turn on my computer, we can solve that over the phone instantly through our 24-hour call center, instead of having to send somebody out to, and it'd probably take a day to go out and solve that problem and cost us a lot of money to do that. But because we can do it over the phone, it's cheap, effective, and increases customer satisfaction. The other thing is that because we have real-time access to the systems in the field, people can pay us over time using mobile money. And that's an incredibly important part of the way that we make our solar home systems affordable to the very poor. Mobile money allows us to provide these systems to customers with a small deposit, and then they pay us off over time, over a 12-month period, using mobile money payments. And those mobile money payments can be as low as 50 cents a day. And giving them that flexibility in payments over a 12-month period allows us to mimic their expenditure patterns that they would normally spend on kerosene candles and batteries, and also means that they don't have the upfront cost that we would otherwise have to charge them if we were going to charge them the entire amount when they walked away with it.
Yeah, because what they're walking away with is a solar setup, which 8 watts can power 3 lights, a radio and a mobile phone charger. So in a sense, a minimum of what they've been getting from kerosene candles and batteries without having to walk into the village to get your phone charged. So it's convenient, it's affordable, it's quite small. And affordability is important because we're often told, you know, coal is the cheapest form of energy for the developing world. We've got to have coal. We've got to keep producing coal because that's the most affordable energy. But here is renewable energy going into these very remote off-the-grid places. Is this a model that can be scaled up, or are you scaling it up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big difference in Africa is that people spend so much of their income on energy that solar is a one-year payoff with no subsidies. And so it's the best investment these households will ever make. And there are 1.3 billion people worldwide who need this kind of service. And that's going to double by 2050 because of population growth. And so this is absolutely an attractive business model, attractive opportunity. And there are companies like us that are growing very, very quickly.
And Hugh, just on that, and finally, Malcolm Turnbull will deliver his government's innovation statement on Monday. Companies like yours are looking for signals. What kind of signals do you want? Can you see changes that need to be made in a regulation sense, a policy sense from a country like Australia to better support climate innovation?
Yeah, we need support from the top. I think Prime Minister Turnbull knows where the right side of history will land. I think he knows how to get there, and I just hope he pushes the flat earthers and his party to help him, you know, make the right decisions.
All right, Hugh Whelan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Good luck in Paris. Hugh Whelan is CEO of PEG Ghana. It's a company he started up providing pay-as-you-go solar energy technology. Those little systems, fantastic, aren't they? 3 lights, a mobile phone charger. It's all really impressive. Solar energy off-the-grid households in Ghana. And he's on his way to Paris, where he'll be giving a speech on Saturday.